We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. Jesse is here with me. Jesse, there's snow outside. Did you see that?
I did see that. Unlike Trump, we do the pod in the snow or rain. So,
what?
No topical stuff. You know, he missed visiting the cemetery because it was raining.
Oh, yes. That's
yeah, well, that's funny stuff. Come on,
we're inside, so
yeah,
we're okay for that.
Sure. But yeah, it is snowing. I've had to clean my car off like 3 times.
It's icy.
It's like ice, yeah.
We're just giving into the Canadian stereotype that it's like always snowing here.
It's true.
It's not always snowing. It's just winter now. This is like the first good dump of snow we've had, so it's...
No, we've been lucky. I mean, what is it? November 11th? I mean, that's crazy. Usually October is like brutal for us, so it's been pretty
warm, actually.
Yeah, it's been like -1, which is nothing, so that's okay.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You guys know where to find us, at Fantasy NHL Talk. Thanks to all the overseas listeners and stuff. That's sweet. Thanks for everyone that's been following us on Twitter. There is, I think we went from like, in the last month, from like 90 to almost 300 followers. So
All right. Keep
it up. I've been answering tons of questions. I've been throwing out my own questions. Last question I asked was, what limb would you cut off to have McKinnon and Ratanen on your fantasy team right now? Ear, nose, arm, or leg?
Ooh, good one.
It's the hard-hitting fantasy advice that people come here for.
I feel like it's pretty poignant, yeah, you know. Unfortunately for me, I do not need to cut off a limb because I own them in my other league.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I am a genius. In this league, I do not own either because I am an idiot.
I just have McKinnon in our league of record. So speaking of our league of record, that's the question that we're going to talk about today. We had some people ask us about our league format and just the points and players and stuff, how it works, because we do reference it quite a bit on the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we're in a 10-person league. 9 right now because someone dropped out last minute.
Yeah.
But that's how we structure it. 10 to 12 is the best we find with like free agents and stuff like that. We have, how many forwards do we have?
Well, we went through a radical change this year.
We did.
So I will give you our current format, but we had like the same format forever, and then we just totally changed it to, for the sake of the free agent pool, to be super, super deep. So we only got 11 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 2 goalies.
Yeah.
And there's no position locks, so you can draft whatever you want. You can have 10 centers, which most teams you probably do. And and then you have 25 moves you can make throughout the year, like free agent-wise, so you can pick up any player all you want. We got rid of picks. That's the biggest...
Trading for picks.
Trading for picks, yeah. That's the biggest thing we got rid of. So, like, if people leave, there's no issues of wanting to leave, or if someone just wants to join for a year, they can join because all the teams will be equal no matter what, and there's no keepers anymore, nothing like that. So it's definitely interesting. It was cool to draft everyone again because we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
I still think I miss keepers, though, and more players.
Well, we've ran with the keeper league for 7 years or something before that. This is the first year. We just wanted everyone to have fun every year.
Yeah.
And then we felt with keepers, teams were getting too stacked. And then with trading your picks for the next year, you could say, oh, I'm going to give you a first for Crosby this year, and then leave the league.
Yeah, we had too many. It was like a buy-to-win situation, which was getting. So some guy was like, we had a guy in our league, I think, spent his 1 to 13, like, picks.
Like, rounds. Every round.
And he won. He won, like, barely, which is actually kind of hilarious. And, like, he won last year. And then it's like, okay, well, you show up to the draft and you draft 14th overall, right? And you sit there and you wait and wait and wait. And that's no fun for anyone because, like, it doesn't reward drafting because some guy can just buy his team. I mean, it is tough. We couldn't find a solution, so that was it. We cut it all. Picks are gone. You just draft. If you want to trade between someone else, you have to do a player-for-player trade. True hockey trade, as you will. And, so that's basically our current thing. We do goals, assists, bonuses for shorthanded points and power play points.
Yep.
Points for hits, points for shots.
Blocks as well.
Blocks for defensemen only. Then we do, for goalies, you get shutouts, you get saves, and you get wins. And if you get an overtime loss, you get a quarter of the points you would get for a win. So you don't end up with just nothing.
I'm surprised you knew that. You weren't even looking at anything just off the top of your head.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, it's...
That's impressive.
20 years of grinding the stats. And, yeah, so that's basically what we do for that. I won't give you the exact point values. If you really want them, just DM us later. I mean, yep. Give you our official scoring, but if we just say numbers up here, it means nothing to anyone. But, yeah, we found it's a pretty good balance. One of the biggest issues we had in the past was just trying to make defensemen relevant.
Right.
Because,
yeah,
defensemen would get, you know, 50 points, and why would you draft a defenseman when you still have forwards getting 70 points kind of thing? So, yeah, we got ways to, so blocks and hits and stuff helps them get back into the tier. So it's a pretty good mix.
I think we found a good mix for the scoring system, how it works. Like there's some like 0.1 for stuff, and but it just elevates different players, different.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Like all the other stats.
Yeah, peripherals.
Yeah, peripheral stats. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it makes guys valuable. Oh, another big change we did this year is we got rid of PIM.
Right.
So we had that forever. It started off really, really high, and then we basically nerfed it like 3 years in a row, and then this year we just voted to get rid of it completely.
Completely took it out.
Yeah, so we buffed, increased hit points.
Buffed.
I know, I'm trying to think, it's like, yeah, maybe people don't really get my stupid gamer talk about buffing stuff. But yeah, so we increased hits, and we increased, I think, blocks or something to like sort of cover that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a feels bad stat where like, you got a guy, and then like all of a sudden he gets like 15 minutes in PIM and just like win and just like crushes the day, and you're like, well,
or goons with like a 30 PIM in one game, and it gets you 7 points on the roster. Or
and
something
it's like,
like,
man,
that.
It's like you're not drafting Malkin because he gets, you know, an elbow at 15 minutes.
We did
ejection.
At one point
you were, but we got rid of it. It's just too volatile, and people were not happy, and it's fine. So I don't miss it. So it's all good.
Yeah, one of the big things going into our managers meeting this year was just making sure the league was active and then everyone had a fair shot.
Yeah.
Right? I think I've said it up probably 1,000 times on the podcast that you want activity in your league.
Mm-hmm.
If it starts getting stale when no one's playing or everyone's keepers are just locked in and that's what they roll with every year, that doesn't make fun throughout the year for me. I mean, I can draft the best team and then keep the whole thing like Dynasty.
Yep.
But there's no fun for people coming in, joining the league, leaving the league, coming into like a terrible team that you have to rebuild from scratch yourself. So redraft is just fun for everyone. Everyone has a shot. People can come and go as they please. We have a solid group of 9 for sure, but I'm sure we'll get up to 12 once people start coming and going and stuff like that. Sweet.
Yeah, nope, exactly. That's
how we do our league, for those people that were wondering.
Yeah, that is how we do it.
If you want any more specifics, let us know. Let's get into the injuries and news.
All right.
So last night, Hockey Night in Canada, for everyone in Canada that watches that, Don Cherry, all that goodness. People from the Leafs organization said they were open to trading Nylander. So they were engaged in talks or however that was working. I think he's going to get traded before the deadline.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a deadline. So apparently he has 20 days to report to the team, or he has to miss the full year.
Yeah.
And obviously that is a complete brutal situation for a team that wants to compete for the cup this year, obviously, and for future years. No point having this crazy valuable asset doing whatever he's doing in Sweden, playing Fortnite or whatever the kid's doing.
well, it's Red Dead now.
Oh, yeah, Red Dead, true. I mean, obviously, they would have paid him by now, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, if they wanted him, they would have had it brought him in.
They would have paid, yeah. So, I mean, they need a defenseman, obviously. And it sounds like Dougie Hamilton was in some of the talks, maybe like a Falk or something.
I heard Falk, too, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got to move him for a defenseman and just move on. I mean, it's tough, but, I mean, obviously, if they wanted to pay him what he wanted, like I said, he'd be on the roster already. So
is this a stash now? People to look for Nylander on their waiver wires and pick him up, probably?
Well, I mean, you have at least 20 days, and then you know exactly what's happening. So in 20 days, he's either not playing for the entire year, or he's on a team, and he's going to be playing. So if you've had him this long, I'm sure you can be patient for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, if you have him on your team, then you're just sitting there.
Like, but
does a player that's not showing up to your team, is that, can you put that in an IR spot?
I know in our league you can.
You can?
I'm not sure about Yahoo's and stuff, but Fantrax lets you do it. So, because I know the guy in our league who has Nylander is in an IR spot, and it let him go there. So,
there you go.
Is what it is.
That's another thing when we were talking about our league, I wanted to mention. Our site we use is fantrax.com.
Right.
F-A-N-T-R-A-X. And it has a lot of customizable things. That's why we picked that site. Rask. This was a very weird situation, and it makes more sense. So Rask asked for a leave of absence from the team for personal reasons. Bruin said, sure, go do what you need to do. There's no timetable for his return, but this could be why he was very distracted during games, not playing well. I don't know if relationship issues or whatever it is. What do you think that says for fantasy?
Well, I mean, Halak is now going to start every game. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's crazy. Like I said, yeah, we don't know anything about it. We don't have a timetable on a return.
Buy low on Rask?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, if there ever was a buy low, I mean, he's worth nothing right now. So I just don't know when he's back. I mean, you know, like, is he going to, like, a spirit lodge or something? He's
going to,
like...
He's going to a meditation retreat where he's not going to talk for a week?
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to go full peyote and just, like, hang out in the woods and just, like, talk to a spirit animal and hopefully, like... I mean, when he was playing, he did not look that good, but Rask always sucks early season, so it's not like it's a huge, like, surprise. Man, I don't know. But
I like it as a buy low.
Yeah, it's a buy low if you can stash the guy for sure. He's still a starting goalie, so. But in the meantime, obviously, it's gonna be a race to get Halak. So.
Yeah.
I mean.
And in the interim while he's out there, there's lots of goalies out there that have been injured.
Yeah.
Right, and lots of guys are looking for a backup plan, and I think Rask could be your backup plan, along with like Luongo I've mentioned before, and guys like that. Maybe the. DeSmith or whatever from Pittsburgh.
Yep, he's taking Murray starts, which is fantastic for him because Murray's looked absolutely awful.
That's another good option for players or for people that have goalie injuries or worried, like Mike Smith or something like that. They're worried about what's going on there, or Bobrovsky. Stastny watch, again. I think I said this last week, but Stastny's almost scheduled to come back middle of the month. It's the 11th right now, so... Another week or so, and he'll be coming back. Is that any interest to you?
I mean, it would have been, but you picked him up and stashed him on your IR already, so I have no interest now.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I did.
But in general, I mean, this really should boost Pacioretty, who's been an absolute ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 goals in, like, 15 games is deplorable. So, yeah, should be good for the team. Should be good for Pacioretty. So, I imagine most Pacioretty owners might have already cut the dude or are on their wits end. So, but this guy will definitely help that situation immensely as he is a true playmaking center. And Patches needs some shot in the arm for sure. So
is that a buy low on both? Pacioretty, Stastny?
Yeah, I'd say that's fine for sure.
I like it.
Pacioretty is as buy low as you can get right now. So definitely get him. And he's worth a shot to see what he can do with a real centerman for at least 20 games. So, as it is, like, Vegas is just scoring with the same thing. It's just the power play and that line, and Ryan Reeves got points for some reason. So, but
I see Pacioretty on tons of waivers everywhere, and it hurts me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, this is a 30 goal scorer. Why is he on the waivers? Like a perennial 30 goal scorer.
Yeah, he was it's tough.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye out them. I'm sure everyone in our league is already looking at him. He's just floating out there.
Yeah, he's just
right. Everyone's just waiting for Stastny or something to come back. So. Keep an eye on for that. This one hurts. This one hits home for me. Klingberg, 5 weeks. He's out.
Yeah, they...
I have him in our league of record.
Did whatever surgery to his hand. It was successful. Now he's just got to hang out for 5 weeks with a beat-up hand. It sucks.
You're not going to play Fortnite with that.
Well, I mean...
With a busted-up hand in a cast or something.
Yeah, you're like a phone game or something. I mean, I don't know. That's a long 5 weeks, man. Ugh.
So, obviously, that's IR. You're putting him on IR if you have the spot. Some guys that I personally looked at was obviously Poink or whatever is out there still.
Pioink.
Pioink is out there. Everyone knows about him by now. Dumba is kind of like a sneaky pickup. I think that's the one that I went with. McAvoy is also coming back this week.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say I saw him still concussed, so I guess he's coming back. That's good.
So that's also another defenseman. And then I'm going to let you say the Dallas defenseman's name.
Hesekainen. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, he's slotted to take over the spot. So
he had a couple points already since Klingberg went out or whatever. So that's
he's an immediate, if you really want to stick with the Dallas, that guy's going to get promoted for sure.
Any other defense that could slot in right now that are on your radar?
I'm trying to think of, like, mid-tier defense that's just hanging out.
I don't think there's anyone else.
Yeah, I can't really think of anyone offhand, so...
Do you want to talk about this next guy on the list?
Yeah, for sure. So Ranta went from just a little tweak to missing another week.
<It's pretty laughs> Did you do that on purpose?
No, I was just totally just happened.
Nice.
That was pretty ill, though. I impressed myself. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it. Anyway, so Ranta's out for another week, which sucks for Coyotes. They've lost, no surprise, 3 in a row without Ranta, and they need him back if they want any hope of getting to that win streak, winning ways. Kemper is a serviceable backup, but he is not going to win you any games at this point. It is tough sailing and in Phoenix land.
Should only be another week is what they were saying.
Yeah, they need him. Hopefully they don't drop another 4 games and just like totally obliterate that win streak they had that made them look good.
Relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Matthews is skating now. That's good, but his legs weren't hurt. So... End of month is what they're saying for Matthews.
Yeah.
He's still on IR for everyone.
Yeah.
I guess that's your weekly update on the Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews watch. Yeah, his shoulder still is what it is. So, yeah, got some time on that.
So December is what they're thinking for him.
Makes sense.
This is kind of a lesser injury, but Barchi.
Wow.
Sven Barchi is coming back.
The GOAT.
Not many people talked about it, but he was 6 points in 10 games playing with the top line in Vancouver,
which is
still rolling.
Dude's a talented guy. He's just, I remember watching him on the Flames, just couldn't get together there. So I had no idea he was even injured. I thought he was just demoted. So more,
He should be like with Pettersson and Horvat and top line again, which is, I like it. I like watching them. Yeah. We watched the game last night, or was it the night before?
No, last night. It was
the day game.
Yeah, and Pettersson almost did the sweet through the legs overtime goal.
That was insane.
And it was just like Skinner slew footed him at the end. And I was just like, no. But another Canuck update is Boeser.
Right.
Is like toast, so he's going to see a specialist. Yeah. This guy's approaching undraftable for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to play more than 50 games ever again in his life.
Oh.
I think he's had like parental back issues since he was like 15 as well. The same thing with like the Matthews situation. So,
You know what they say, you're an injury prone until you're not.
Yeah, I mean, it might be 5 years till this guy like just needs to take off and like ice. I don't know. But nonetheless, he's seen a groin specialist. It's crazy the issues that this kid has already had. It sucks. He's obviously 30 goal scorer when he's healthy, and this team needs scoring. And they got the setup mid now, and it would be scary to see Pettersson with Boeser and like Horvat, these finishers, so... It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be happy about in Vancouver, but Boeser being dead sucks.
Yeah.
Really, really sucks.
Yeah. Barchi in deep league, you'll see him.
Yeah, Barchi, I mean, whatever. He's still an offensively gifted player, so.
Yeah. A couple guys are day-to-day, not much to talk about here, like big injury news, but John Carlson, Goligoski, Hurdle, all guys that have probably been picked up on waivers and stuff because they're hot. Well, Carlson was drafted, but...
Yeah.
Everyone looked at Hurdle and Goligoski for some depth. They're just day-to-day, couple days. No reason to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, since we're talking about the Klingberg, if you need an immediate replacement for your week, I'd pick up Matt Niskanen. He is manning the top power play in Capitals, which basically means free points. He's not going to score any goals because I saw the game, and he has no finish, unfortunately. He was in Ovi's office and just like... blew it so bad. So, but he will definitely get those secondary
wrong office
assists. Yeah. So definitely something to be there. I thought they'd promote like Orlov or something, but now that it's like Niskanen, you can.
Niskanen was always pretty decent.
But he was always good in like those other teams. So
sweet. A couple guys are coming back that were kind of ghosts. So Martin Hansel.
Whoa.
Yeah. You heard that name before?
I see it on your paper and I was like, I don't know who this is.
He had a lot of hope going, getting traded to Dallas.
Oh my God.
Being that center, being the rough and tumble center.
Yeah, he's supposed to be amazing.
He is coming back. Interested?
No.
No.
But 3 years ago, I'd be interested. I used to have this guy on my team all the time when he was in Phoenix because I feel like he was a point per game player. And then he just gets back injuries and he's toast. So I think he's supremely talented. The guy's like 6'6 and it's like a man child giant. So
yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
In deeper leagues, keep an eye.
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's not awful. I mean, he's still offensively talented. He's been off for apparently forever. So hopefully he's got something settled with his injuries. Man, I feel like that's a throwback name, but the guy's still in the NHL.
Well, we're doing our remembering podcast today, yeah, so maybe that's what we're doing.
That is really that. I mean, that's, I'm shook.
And then the other one I wanted to bring up was Nate Schmidt. He's back next week.
Oh, snap. The 20 games or whatever is coming up? Nice. Holy moly, I forgot about that dude.
So Nate Schmidt is actually going to be a really big pickup because he was doing great in the playoffs for Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't got a lot of scoring out of Theodore or any of those guys in Vegas, so yeah.
There you go.
That's
I'm winking at Jesse, but people on the podcast can't hear. Wink, wink, Nate Schmidt.
There we go, perfect.
All right, let's go into the schedule. This schedule was a very weird schedule when I looked it up. So the four-game teams are Anaheim, Chicago, Minnesota, Nashville, New Jersey, and Vancouver. So that's 24 games. Out of those 24 games, only four of those games are being played below 500 teams.
Okay, right, so basically some seriously competitive hockey this week.
It is going to be very tight sledding for these teams. I'm okay with everyone starting their stars. I mean, you got to play the four games. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be some like 1-0 games this week. I think it's going to be. We had last week in the NHL that was just like crazy points for everyone in every league. And now this week, I feel like it's going to be a slower one. Like Nashville, Minnesota, Anaheim, they don't let in a lot of goals.
No, Minnesota, same thing. Like they. Yeah, I mean, these teams have got to start playing defense at some point. So near 20 games in, they have, hopefully that's what is going to happen. So
the only four games that are being played that are below 500 teams, there's two LA games in there, and then there's two Detroit games in there.
Fair enough.
Everyone else is above 500. Like they're, that's it's cool. Going to be a really a gruesome week. Yeah, if you want like a whole bunch of points this week, I don't know if we're going to get it.
Yeah, it's a grinder week for sure.
Out of those teams, New Jersey and Vancouver have the easier schedule, and I quotations like the easiest it can get. Mm-hmm. New Jersey plays Penguins, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Carolina. That's probably your best bet to fire up Taylor Hall and those guys.
Yep.
And then Vancouver plays the Rangers, Islanders, Minnesota, and Montreal. So that's maybe a 50-50 there, but that's your second best option. The rest of them is just going to be chaos.
Yeah, I have really nothing else to add. That is going to be an interesting schedule this week.
Check it out on Daily Faceoff if you want to look at it a little deeper. Anaheim, Chicago, Minnesota all play three of their four at home. So that could help those three teams. Take a look at them. Fire up those players. Fire up your stars no matter what. Like even though Nashville has a tough schedule, you're still playing your Forsbergs, your Pekka-Rinne and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. They're still scoring goals. And yeah, exactly. You draft them, you start them essentially.
Sweet. Okay, let's go into like our big remembering episode.
Yeah, obviously this is Remembrance Day themed. We found out that in America it is just called Veterans Day. I always knew it was called Veterans Day, but I didn't know if it was the exact same day, and it apparently it is the exact same day.
That makes us look silly if we don't even know.
Yeah.
Like they're right below us on the map.
It's true. But they have like different Thanksgivings for some reason. I mean, like, come on. So
different Christmases, like their Christmas isn't even on the same day, is it? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, what is this? nonetheless, so like I said, it's Remembrance Day. So World War I, all World War II, all the wars, men and women fighting, dying for like liberty and all that kind of good stuff.
Freedom.
Freedom. yeah, I mean, obviously the big talk is same as Trump not visiting the cemetery because it was raining. It's super disgusting. I feel bad for Americans because this is like really pathetic act and super deplorable. So it feels bad.
They're used to it by now.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how many Trump supporters we have on the air.
Not to get too political.
Yeah, this is not what you're coming here for. But nonetheless, I still think it sucks just because I brought it up because it is Remembrance Day and it is directly related to that. So for this, we're going to talk about just memorable stuff that happened to us in real life hockey, fantasy hockey, and stuff like that. So we each got like a pretty good list. And at the end of this, of course, we'll want you guys to hit us up with your most memorable stuff. And yeah, you can hit, of course, at Fantasy NHL Talk, Facebook, Twitter. And yeah, hopefully see you guys let us know when, you know.
So this is fantasy or real life hockey, or maybe you went to McDavid's first game and you saw him get his first goal, and that's like something that's memorable to you that you'll never forget.
Yeah, exactly.
You want me to start or do you want to go first?
I'll go first because mine's really easy.
Go ahead.
The first one is Caps winning the Cup. I know it's not a long memory, but nonetheless, it finally happened. I've been an Ovechkin fan since 2005. We're both the same age, so I've been watching him forever. And yeah, him winning the Cup was one of my favorite NHL moments ever. I know it's kind of lame because it just happened, but nonetheless, it is really cool to see a guy finally get rewarded. All the critics can finally get off this dude's back. He can just play hockey now. He's like him, Backstrom, Hopi, all these guys, Carlson, they all deserved it. So, yeah, I mean, that is a great memory for me, and I'll probably remember that for a long time because I do not think they'll win the Cup again in the Ovechkin era. But nonetheless, it was really, really cool.
You'll be an old man. Remember back when Washington was a good team? I'm sure there's lots of people that... Well, every year when like a different team wins the Cup, you see like all the videos on Facebook and stuff of like the really old guys that are like, I lived to see the first Cup.
Yeah.
So you got it pretty young in your life.
I'm pretty stoked. Lucky. I'm not like a Leaf guy where it's been like 42 years or whatever it's been. And just grinding away.
Hey, I'm a Vancouver fan.
Yeah. Well, I used to say a thing. I mean, like, I'm pretty blessed. I got it, like, 30 years old. It's like, yes, done.
So that brings me straight into one of mine. Vancouver, when they lost Game 7 to the Bruins.
Yeah, it sucked.
A couple of years ago to a goalie named Tim Thomas that who knows where he is. He's not injured. He just doesn't want to play hockey anymore.
He's done, man.
There were riots in the streets. People were flipping over cars, destroying the city, because I think they were up, I think it was like 3-1.
The series, I think, was, yeah.
And like it was an easy in the bag victory, and then they came back and did the reverse sweep. That was a sad day for me. I'm going to remember it because of the heartbreak. They had like the best team they ever had, the Sedins.
Kessler was in his prime.
The
defense was sick. Luongo in his prime. No, he just
couldn't do it.
It hurt. I mean, my whole family lives in Vancouver, and my uncle and my grandfather went to the Game 7 game, and they actually went to all the games, basically, that there were home games, which was four of them. And, yeah, they were out there. Yeah, and, I mean, they saw the riots. They saw everything. It was just absolutely crazy. I remember watching Game 7 and, like, Luongo left in like a couple of these weird soft goals. There was like a breakaway goal that just like crossed the line from like Bergeron, I think, or something. Or it was so hard to watch because my family is just diehard Vancouver fans. I mean, like these people are in like their 70s, 80s, and 90s watching this game.
Yeah.
And my bees Nona, which is great grandmother in Italian, she has like a Vancouver shrine in her house. Like she has like a Kessler picture with some candles under it. I mean,
oh
like,
man,
like this is like the
a
level
bit of his hair.
Yeah, I mean, if she would have got it, I'm sure she would put it there. Like she had the whole shrine of all the players. She wears the jerseys. I wanted more for anything, just for them to win for her. And yeah, it was a really sucky day.
That was probably Luongo's last chance at a cup.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, some people, you get one shot, man, like 1 mile, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or, sorry, 8 mile, and that's it. And, like, after that, you knew that was it, that it was going to be it for Luongo, so.
Okay, let me give you one more heartbreak, because I realize that I have two heartbreaks
while
on here.
We're in the downer, yeah.
My favorite player is Bure. My favorite goalie is Hasek. Always has, always will be. What year was that? I'm trying to think of what year it was. When Hasek single-handedly carried Buffalo to the finals.
Yep.
And then they played Dallas with Ed Belfour, and that was an epic goalie battle because Belfour was the number one when Hasek was in Chicago.
Yep.
And he was playing behind him. And then he started stealing starts and stuff like that. And then so they met in the final. Dallas had a much better team, and eventually I think it was just a sweep. I don't even really remember if Buffalo took a game.
I couldn't even tell you, to be honest. I have no idea.
But the game-winning goal
yeah.
was Brett Hull, and Brett Hull's foot was clearly in the crease. Like, even at the parade after and stuff, yes. like, people were saying, like, no goal. I mean, if your foot was in the crease during those times, they've changed that rule a little bit now.
Yeah, thank God.
But if your foot was in the crease, anywhere in the crease, when that puck crossed the line, yeah. that was a no goal.
It was baloney, because you have the rule, and then you count it. It makes no sense. I mean, even, like, Lindy Ruff in the parade after, or no, the anti-parade, I guess. Yeah. He's like, the foot was in the crease. Yeah. like, I mean, and it was.
I got two words for you. Yeah. No goal.
No goal. Exactly, right? So, I was kind of a Buffalo fan because I think that's when they were really fast that year.
Yeah, they had Briere.
Who was in his prime, and they were just so cool to watch because they were just, like, moving up and down the ice, scoring tons of goals, and I was like, this is actually a pretty sweet team.
Was it, Kovalev?
I think McGinley was on that team, maybe. Or maybe not. I don't know if Kovalev was ever on that team.
No, who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of, like, the really fast guy that had, like, the crazy year that year. Maybe it was McGinley or... It
might have been McGinley. I don't know.
No, I can't remember now.
Yeah.
it's getting farther and farther away.
It is getting farther and farther away.
But I remember Brett Hull's foot in that crease, seeing pictures of it all over SportsCenter and stuff.
Yeah, I remember... Like, watching it at home with my parents, obviously, because I was a kid, and like the top down view, and you see his skate, and it's literally in the crease. And yeah. then they still call it a goal in overtime to let it win. I was like, what a joke.
And when that happened, I thought that was Hasek's last chance for a cup. Mm. I was like, this was Hasek's run. He carried the team.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he went to Detroit and got the cup later, which made it happy for me. What do you got for next?
Well, I'm going to sound like a total loser, but my next one is another Ovechkin memory. It is the Ovi the goal, if you know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Ovi's rookie season gets a breakaway against Phoenix, gets hauled down. You think the play's over. Dude just lays on the ice, curls it in, and turns out to be one of the goals of the century, if not best goal of all time. Definitely started my love affair with this guy because it was the coolest thing ever. Never gave up on a play. He was so fast. And yeah, that was one of the coolest things to watch live. I mean, not like live, because I was in Canada, obviously. But nonetheless, on TV, yeah, super memorable. And it just like, I remember watching, I was like, man, this guy's something special. This is cool. And he looked literally unstoppable, and he's been pretty fantastic since then. So
that was the most insane goal. That Pettersson goal was going to be that same thing. I thought he was going to fall
but
down.
But he passed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the same thing. I was like having shades of this. I was like, oh my God, just curl it in. And then he didn't do it. And I was like, ugh, that sucks. So, but yeah, nonetheless, that is my remembrance day for goal. I think another one I had was Gabrick scoring 5 goals was pretty cool.
Yep.
Remember I watched that stupid Wild game. Gabrick in his prime was pretty unstoppable. So it looks like you pulled up a list here. So.
Oh, I was thinking of, for the Buffalo game, Chatan.
Oh, Miroslav Chatan. Yeah. Yeah, not Satan, sorry. Chatan.
Yeah, they had a good team there. Oh, Pekka.
Oh, yeah. Michael,
Pekka, too.
Yeah, Michael Pekka.
And then they actually won 2 games, so it was 4-2.
Oh, it was 4-2? Okay, so it was kind of heartbreaking, not a stomp.
Yeah, it wasn't as much as I thought, but
yeah,
still. All right. I got a good one for you.
All right, what do you got?
This is one that I had to go back. I had to go back into my memory bank. Do you remember 1998? Anything that happened in 1998?
I was 8 years old, so I don't know. Maybe.
I remember this like it was yesterday. This was the Nagano Olympics, the semifinals, Team Canada versus Czech Republic.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And there were... The Czech Republic team was, there was no one on it.
There was Jäger.
Yeah, that Jäger. That's it. Yeah. And a little known goalie called Dominik Hasek.
Yeah, exactly.
They had, like, the Canadian team was, like, Gretzky, like, a Ginla in his
Lemieux,
prime.
Lemieux. It was disgusting.
Like, their team was So this is the Broders semifinals. And Net,
all these guys, yeah.
This is the semifinals. They're not even going to get like a gold, silver, right? They're going to be kicked out. And it goes to a shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
They submit the rosters for the shots. Wayne Gretzky does not get picked.
Yeah. Do you know who shot for him?
I don't.
Oh.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Who is it?
Okay, so, you know, first couple guys, you know, make sense. You know, a couple good guys. And the third shooter is Raymond Bork.
Right. Yes.
The most point scoring player, of course, of all time. Not Gretzky, not the guy with the softest hands, the dish, Hall of Fame, most records of all time. Mark Crawford goes down the bench, looks down, he's like, ooh, I got that gut feeling about Ray Bork.
Ray Bork's going to get it done.
Ray Bork obviously just skates in and just shoots at him, like shoots at his pad. I feel bad for Ray, I mean, because like, you don't want to be called.
You got Wayne Gretzky a couple seats beside you.
There's 1,000 forwards that are just absolute gods of the game. And Crawford calls your number. So now you got the most pressure of your entire life. You're going against Hasek, who's literally a wall at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I do not envy the guy at all. And I have total sympathy for Bork. But, I mean, yeah, the aftermath is the classic Gretzky on the bench. His hands are in his head in his hands.
He's crying.
He's crying because, I mean, like, oh, yeah. Man.
I remember Hasek jumping up and down.
Yeah, I remember Jagr just hugs him immediately because Jagr scored in the shootout.
Yeah.
And he was the only one who scored. And it was like, Owen, whatever. And it was like, just had to make the save to win the shootout.
Yep.
And, oh, God, Bork.
Yeah. And that started, like, Hasek's rise to fame. Yep. And then, like, 8 Vezinas and all this stuff later.
Yeah.
I remember watching that with my grandpa. And we were watching the TV, watching the Olympics. And he was cheering for Canada a little bit. And I was like, yeah, I want Canada to win because I live here. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but I really like this Hasek goalie. Like, I've seen him play a couple times, and I really think he's going to be something special. And he's like, oh, okay, so if Canada loses, who are you going to cheer for? Like, who do you want to win this? And I was like, I don't know. And then when Hasek won, I was just like, yeah, that's my goalie from this point on that I will follow and watch forever.
Yeah, man. Oh, same thing. I was watching with my parents. And even at 8 years old, when they called Bork, I looked at my dad, and he looked at me, and we're just like, what is happening? Like Stonehand Bork. I mean, come on, man. Oh, yeah. I'm getting, like, goosebumps, like, seriously, like, thinking about it. Like, just like,
I know.
Woo! I know. It's just like, what a moment in history, man. Like, unreal.
Yeah, they said that, I was looking at some articles before the podcast, and they said that Gretzky was, he said he was praying that he was picked for the shootout. He didn't say anything, but he was like silently praying in his head or whatever. And then he's just like, please pick me, please pick me, please pick me. And then his name didn't get called and he was just shocked.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like, I get 200 points a season and you're not going to pick me.
It's the safest play of all time as a coach too. You play Gretzky, he doesn't score. No one criticizes you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but you start Bork. I mean, Crawford, that's the most boneheaded thing ever. Like, I mean, I can't imagine like the last whatever, the 5 years after that, of people just like, he's probably got hate mail. He probably, like, I mean,
yeah,
it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, yeah, he looks like a genius if Bork scores, but you can also look like a genius by starting the best player to ever play the game.
And I think, didn't Gretzky have like 3 points in that game too?
Yeah, of course.
And they just like didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
and you're right. If Gretzky gets stopped by Hasek, then it's a completely different game. No one talks about it.
No one talks about it. I mean, oh, okay. Hasek beat Gretzky. Cool. Hasek beats Bork. It's like a 90. It's like the lowest percentage play of all time on the biggest stage. Oh, my God. I could rant about this forever, but we got other memories to deal with.
we both remember that one pretty good.
Yeah.
No, what else you got?
I got another Olympic memory, so while we're on this, I'll get it over with. Obviously, Crosby scoring the golden goal in Vancouver was absolutely insane memory. Watching that, getting the pass from McGinley, just whipping a short side, 5-hole on Ryan Miller. Just an incredible, incredible game.
Yep.
I'm not really going to talk about too much because it is what it is, and it was one of the coolest things ever. And, of course, Crosby scores it because that dude is just
clutch
luck, whatever. He's just destiny, fate, whatever it is for that guy. So nonetheless, it was pretty, pretty cool. So anyway, I'll move on to my next one. It was growing up as a kid. It is the Detroit-Colorado rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Watching goalie fights, Vernon Waugh, right from Wah. I used to watch like YouTube goalie fights after all the time.
And then it was Osgood and Wah.
Then Osgood. These teams hate each other. I mean, oh my God. Like Claude Lemieux, my dad's most hated player of all time, winning Stanley Cups, cross-checking Chris Draper's face into the boards, breaking his jaw. Oh my God. These were just bloodbaths of games, man.
Yeah.
Forsberg versus Yzerman, just like...
That all started in 96.
Yeah, it was just an absolute gong show forever of watching these games. I was a Colorado fan. I did not like Detroit, still do not like Detroit. And it was always a little satisfying to see Watt beat someone up or Forsberg dangle or like Hayduke score three goals and all
these. Sakic Rister.
Sakic Rister, exactly. Like, so it was pretty, pretty cool to watch that. And yeah, that's definitely a memory I have. That's when I like probably first started watching hockey as a kid and started actually had like cognizant memories. Mm. Yeah, so definitely that for me.
I had my dad paint my room with Colorado colors.
Nice.
As soon as Wah went over to Colorado and he told Montreal that he was going to win the cup the next year, then yeah, I watched them, loved Wah for a long time.
I've won more in this era just to get it over with. Another thing is memorizing the Florida playoff run. I thought that was
throwing the rats.
Throwing the rats, yeah. I thought it was the most insane thing I ever saw as a kid. Oh my God! Just they score a goal, 50,000 plastic rats rain from the sky. I mean, Van Beesbrook was in net. They were kicking butt all the way to the final until they got swept by Colorado. But it was one of the most memorable runs as a kid because I didn't know a single Florida player. I think Scott Mellenby was their captain. Again, a guy I had no idea. I remember just cheering for the bees.
Because Ed Jovanovski?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jovanovski. Wow. That's a sweet throwback name, too.
I think that was... I'm going to have to vet this, but I think those were both expansion teams that year.
It might have been, actually.
And I think it was the only time that two expansion teams met in the Stanley Cup final.
That is sick.
Yeah. I think maybe Florida was a couple years before the Colorado, but I have to check that out. But they were both very new teams when that happened.
Yeah, because I remember, Florida, it wasn't like it was a stacked team by any means. And then obviously they got exposed when they got to the final. And so I thought that was pretty cool as a kid watching that. I thought that was absolutely insane. And then like, they banned everything. They're like, please, no more rats, man. It slows the game.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got for that kind of memory. More stuff I got is more fantasy related now. So
I got two that are fairly or more recent, like a lockout. Oh, NHL lockout 2012-2013. They played 46 games. I don't really understand these lockouts. Like, why they need more money? I don't know. I feel like they're getting paid enough. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, these lockouts come around. That's been two in our lifetime. Did you know that?
That is nuts.
Two lockouts, but hopefully they figured that out. And then I wanted to bring up 2005-2006, a stud player by the name of Jonathan Chichu scores 56 goals and disappears the year after.
That's true. It vanishes into thin air.
I don't think we were playing fantasy. Were we playing fantasy at that time?
I don't think so. I wasn't. There's no way I was playing in 2005-2006.
I think like we might have just been getting into it around that time. But 56 goals, and I think his next year he went down to like 12 or something like that. Like just completely disappears. No one ever heard from him again. Just the one year.
Yeah, definitely a one-hit wonder, man.
I think everyone remembers that Chichu name.
Yeah, Chichu train, so good. What do I got? I guess I got one more hockey thing here. Mine was watching the Pens win against Detroit for the Cup when Fleury made that save. They played against like Lidstrom's Detroit, and that was one of the rare times I'll cheer for Pittsburgh because I thought it was so cool. Crosby was so young, Malkin was so young, Letang was so young. They had Talbot scoring goals. It was just like absolutely crazy to watch, and so that's another memory I had because I was recording my band's record, and I was in a place called Govan, Saskatchewan, and we had this little junky TV. And we were watching it because for some reason hockey was on in like June or something because the playoffs lasted forever. And I got to watch it and got to watch the save and them win. And it was so cool to watch. So that was a pretty cool hockey memory. yeah, so beyond that, now I just got some sort of...
You got fantasy?
More fantasy one? Stuff.
How about Dylan Larkin breaking the skating record? Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
I think the year before now.
I think it's been 2 years now, yeah.
Broke the skating record.
Did McDavid break it again? Like, has he broken it since?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think, yeah, it's just the Dylan Larkin. That was insane.
That was insane.
And all the controversy around, like...
Yeah, the head start.
The head start or, like, the stick and, like, where everything crosses the line and stuff. I remember that being a big deal. He's crazy fast. The other one that's not fantasy related that I have here is Mary Lemieux making his comeback. And I think he got 2 or 3 points that night, but he beat cancer, obviously, mm-hmm. and then came back to the NHL. I remember watching that game thinking someone should pick up Mario Lemieux for like the one game or whatever. And then he ended up, I think it was an assist and a goal, and everyone went crazy. That was such a feel-good story of the year because Lemieux was, his career was obviously cut short for a variety of reasons.
I mean, he is my greatest player of all time pick is Lemieux.
The GOAT.
In my opinion, I think he's better than Gretzky. I could go on for this forever. My dad's favorite player is Lemieux, so like, I kind of got biased growing up. So when you hear that Lemieux is the best player, it kind of sticks in your head. And the more I watched him, the more I saw just the stuff this guy had to deal with. I mean, he actually got checked.
Oh, no.
Not like Gretzky. So, I mean, it was the guy actually had to deal with stuff. And, yeah, him coming back from cancer is absolutely insane. And it was one of the craziest things ever. So... definitely. I was too young to like really get the, you know, gravity of the situation of what he had and stuff like that. So, but when him coming back, it was pretty, pretty cool moment. So I got to say that was, definitely things that are bigger than hockey, you know, it's just like, it was really cool.
To see. Yeah. I think everyone like felt good.
Yeah.
When, especially when we got those points, I don't know if he finished the season.
I don't think so, to be honest.
But he played a couple really strong games right at the beginning and you're like, yeah, this feels good. The first time he like raised his hands and skated around the corner. I remember watching that game. And I was like, that was my heart was full. It grew 10 sizes that day.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the All-Star game because there are tons of All-Star game memories I have too. I mean, obviously the accuracy shooting was my favorite thing. Mm. Remember Daniel Sedin? I think he still has the record, I think.
Yep.
For the four fastest.
Fastest.
So those were really cool to watch. Harder shots were always cool watching, like Al MacInnis with his wooden stick just blast stuff away. So those are always sweet.
Yeah.
So beyond that, the All-Star game or the All-Star skills has been kind of a joke, in my opinion. It's kind of unwatchable. It's just the excitement's not there. It's not cool.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. The only ones I like to watch is harder shot and the accuracy, really, at this point. So it's kind of a bummer that it's come to that. But
it's just not a skills thing anymore. It's like a circus.
It's like a show, yeah. It's like entertainment.
Let's make the goalie skate around and see who's fastest. Like,
yeah.
That's boring.
Agreed.
Hey, speaking of Daniel Sedin. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, this is
on my list.
Also on my list. This is worst fantasy trade, but
my best fantasy
trade. But his best fantasy trade. Nonetheless, I think Zajac got a couple points. I drafted Daniel Sedin, and
I drafted Travis Zajac.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this Zajac guy, man, he's onto something. He's got a real career ahead of him. And so I traded Daniel Sedin for him. Obviously, completely boneheaded trade. And, of course, it just had to be the year that
Daniel Sedin won the Art Ross Trophy with 104 points that year.
Yeah, I think Zajac might have eclipsed 50 points. Obviously, I lost that year.
I won.
super boneheaded move. But when you're early in fantasy, you just sort of make trades. And, I did not think the Sedins were anything to write home about. And that was a mistake.
Yeah, that was Daniel Sedin's big, big year when he had the two trophies. And the year before that was Henrik when got it. So everyone thought Henrik was going to be the big points getter. And so we kind of weighed out Daniel and Zajac at the same. Man, were we wrong?
Yeah.
But I got the better end of that trade. I'm happy.
For sure. another fantasy trade I got is I traded Alexander Semin for St. Louis. This was the year St. Louis won the Art Ross. And I looked like an absolute genius. So... that was a pretty good trade, I think, and to make up for the absolute terrible trade I made before. So those are the two memorable trades that I can think of in fantasy hockey-wise.
Yeah, you redeemed yourself because Semin had a good breakout with Ovechkin for the year before.
Yeah.
So you, capitalized on that value and then got Martin St. Louis that was a 100-point guy for, the last 4 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, I was even like a huge Semin fan, but even then I knew that St. Louis was probably still going to do what he did best, get the 70 assists and the 30 goals. Like, he's an absolute monster of a player. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. While we're in the themes of bad drafts, I remember some of my drafts. The second, I think my first draft I ever did, I took Nicholas Backstrom first overall. And it's not the Nicholas Backstrom you think. It's
right.
It's the Minnesota goalie,
yes,
Nicholas Backstrom.
I remember.
For some reason, I just thought, I was like, man, I need to secure a goalie in the first round. Nicholas Backstrom is, for some reason, the guy I took.
From the abysmal, like, Minnesota before they got relevant.
They had no offense. They had nothing. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I took him.
Not even the good Backstrom.
Yeah. The only good thing that happened to me that year is, like, I didn't know any players. So, like, I picked this guy out of my memory. I picked Jeff Carter last, and it was the year he got, like, 49 goals.
Nice.
So at least it looked okay. And like, just to show how inexperienced it was, I drafted, I think, 6 Philadelphia players that year. So like, what I had was,
you love Philly.
It's true. I had Jeff Carter, Kimmo Timonen, the GOAT, Simone Gagné, one of my favorite players.
Nice.
Joffrey Lupo when he wasn't a total band-aid. And then obviously Carter and, Mike Richards.
Oh, Mike Richards.
There's a name. Another guy I had. So I had like I had 6 of the players. I can't forget. I forgot the 6th guy. I tried.
Pronger.
No, it was another mediocre forward.
Oh, okay.
I don't really remember. But nonetheless, I didn't do well that year. But there was one game I was at my girlfriend's house, and I checked the score, and it was 6-1 Philly. And I had every single point that they scored. So I had 18 points from that game because
nice.
Every one of my crappy Philly players got an assist or goal that night. And I was like, man, I am the greatest fantasy player on the planet. Like, this is so easy. And then I like finished like second last. It doesn't matter. But yeah, it was a rough year, but it's just to show you that you can improve. But man, that was like I said, it's just, yeah, I didn't know a damn thing. It was such a brutal year.
That's funny. All right, I got one more fantasy one for everyone. In 2011, 2012, we added Pym for the first time to our league of record.
Yes.
And I picked with my 10th pick or 12th pick.
Probably last pick.
It was down there, but I picked David Clarkson. You remember him?
I do. He was a devil at that time.
Yep. And he scored 30 goals, the highest of his career,
yep.
And had 138 penalty minutes.
Yeah, that was like a GOAT season. So many points.
This was our first time like trying Pym, so yeah. Obviously everyone that had any sort of Pym like rocketed up to the top of our standings, and I think David Clarkson was the top, and it won me that league that year.
Yeah, we did not account for Pym. I think we had it as like a point for every 2 penalty minutes or something. Or
yeah,
something.
I think so, yeah.
It was something just disgusting. So, like, he got you 70 points and then, like, an extra 70 points from Pym.
Yeah.
It was just, like, this absolute monster season.
He beat out everyone that year.
Yeah.
He was the number one. And then the next year, we downgraded Pym.
Yeah.
And he went, like, 5th overall or something again.
And that's when he got traded to the Leafs because...
Yeah.
He was like last year his contract leaves, so like, yeah, David Clarkson's the solution. So they picked him up and he just became
that's when they were trying to get tough.
Yeah.
Right? They were like, we need all these big bodies in Toronto. That's when Burke went there.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're gonna play this rough style of hockey. Get David Clarkson in here.
David Clarkson, top 6, no problem. 30 goal scorer. Yeah, guy just disappeared.
Hey, those are my 2 wins.
Absolute brutal contract. But yeah, no, I mean, that's a legendary pick for sure. Clarkson in that Pym year.
And 30 goals. And then I think he regressed to 10 next year. Like, he didn't hit 20 the next couple of years after. And then he's gone now.
No, exactly. I got 3 memories left. They're all fantasy related.
Go ahead.
The first one is I lost to a guy who just drafted Detroit players.
Right.
Yeah, our friend Scott, Detroit Homer. This is back when Detroit meant something. He had literally all of them. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was an idiot. But after Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Cronwall, Franzen, Lidstrom...
was this Yzerman there?
I don't think Yzerman was there.
No, Yzerman was gone by then.
There was like...
Draper.
Well, I think it was like... It was like the 2000s.
But I remember that, like, Datsyuk and Zetterberg were just starting out.
Yeah.
Like, Zetterberg was probably there a little bit, but Datsyuk was in his rookie year, second year.
Yeah, it was insane. I think he had, like, 9 Detroit players.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is insane. Like, you can't win. And then Detroit just scored 6 goals every game, and he just crushed the league. And I was like, this is the most sick thing I've ever seen. And so I had to give a point to say that you can draft all of one team and win. But I think those years are over. I think Pittsburgh would be the closest thing you could do, maybe, or Capitals. I'm trying to think of teams with like 5 or more relevant players.
I think it's a defense and even more than one goalie.
Yeah, so it is tough. But nonetheless, yeah, that's what it was. But, oh, and then, of course, you had Detroit's goalie, so I don't have to say that. So yeah,
was it Osgood?
Osgood,
or?
I think, yeah.
Or was it Hasek yet?
I'd have to ask Scott. I don't remember. Nonetheless, I remember it was just this disgusting team.
That's funny.
Yeah, so then the other one I have, the last one I have, is also the year we started PIM. I drafted a little guy known as Steve Downey. He was playing for Colorado.
What?
If you know about Steve Downey, he's basically a PIM machine, plays a little borderline dirty, but he could also score sometimes. So I had him for one game, or not one game. I drafted him, and the one game I got out of him, he had 3 points, 25 PIM, and like 4 shots. And I think it ended up being like a 9.5 point night, which is disgusting for our league because we don't really give big point values. And it, like, that's when we knew like PIM was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because getting like just a shade under 10 points from Steve Downey.
Well, didn't he even only play 2 periods?
Yeah, he played 2 periods. Yeah.
And then he got like the 30 minutes of penalties.
Yeah, he got like 3 minors, and then he got the whatever it is, the 15-minute fight 10 ejection at the end of the second, and that was it. He played 2 periods and got me like 10 points. Like, yeah. It was like, it's just disgusting. So
that's funny. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's the last of my immediate memories for that. I mean, I don't know what else. Like, I mean,
that's funny.
It was crazy. So,
We don't do any head to head, but have we had any like really close coming down to the wire wins? I think you had one a couple years ago, didn't you?
I won by a point once.
Oh, really?
Against a guy in our league named Travis, the other Travis. I won by. Yeah, he was basically.
With like 1.1,
It was like
for a night or something in the final day.
Yeah, the final day, I was ahead by like 2 or 3 points, and Vancouver played, and he had Daniel Sedin or something, and Sedin just got 1 point, and then I sat in this bar and I was like refreshing my phone over and over again, and I was just stressing out, and then he only ended up with 1 point, and then so after all the stat corrections and everything, I won by like half a point or something. Ooh. It was just absolutely disgusting. And then on the other hand, I've lost because someone got a shutout with Luongo the last night of the year. And the 4 points from Luongo got them the win over me. And I was like crying. I was like, no, Luongo, why? Who gets a shutout the last game of the year? Why are you even playing?
Yeah, why are you playing your starting goalie?
Yeah, and I was just so bitter, man. Oh, my God. So, defeat definitely. The taste, the whatever, the ecstasy and agony of fantasy hockey.
That's funny. That's all I got. I hope you guys liked our little trip down memory lane there and some stuff that we remember that'll stick with us forever. I'll give you my kudos quickly because it falls into this category of remembering. I don't remember if I talked about it before on the podcast, but I started collecting a hockey set. It is the 96-97 Fleer Middle Universe hockey set. And these cards look insane. Like, they have, like, cool designs.
They got, like, you show me some of the, like, lethal enforcer. Or, no, sorry, lethal, what is it?
Weapon. Lethal weapons.
Yeah, lethal weapons. The shooters.
And, these cards, they have, like squid tentacles in the background and stuff. And, like, they put, like, laser sights on their eyes if they were, like, a really good shooter.
Nice.
Like, floating eyeballs around the cards and stuff. They're really cool-looking cards. So I got out my hockey cards about 2 months ago and started collecting them. I have the whole base set. Now I'm just getting inserts. Now I'm just getting like Lethal Weapon and cool ice cards, like the goalie inserts and stuff, collecting them and stuff like that. It's fun to look back at those players that are on those cards too.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even remember half of them.
I mean, it is crazy. I mean, you were flipping some of the pages and I was just like, I don't know any of these dudes, man.
Like Iginla's rookie card is in here and stuff like that.
That is
Gretzky on the Rangers.
Yeah. No, it is pretty cool. The only hockey cards I own is a pretty cool memory I have with my dad is the first year McDonald's released hockey cards.
Oh, yeah.
And you could buy the packs with like a fries for a dollar. And so me, my dad, and my brother, we bought, well, I didn't buy them, but my dad bought tons and tons and tons of packs till we got to the point of like trying to get three full collections. And the one card we couldn't get was David Gilmour, no matter what. We bought like probably 100.
Who's David Gilmour?
Or what's his name?
Doug Gilmour?
Doug Gilmour. Wow, I was thinking of David Gilmour, the guitarist for Pink Floyd. Sorry. Yeah, Doug Gilmour. That's how unmemorable he is to me. I'm sorry.
Doug Gilmour.
So yeah, Doug Gilmour. I couldn't get his card. And so like we tried and tried and tried. We finally got one. There's three collections you want to build. So we got one. And then we went to like this comic book store and the guy had like 1,000 Gilmours, of course. And so we gave him the entire pile of like 100 extra cards. And we're like, 2 Gilmours, please. And he's like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, just take all these cards and give us 2 Gilmours so we can complete the set. So
nice.
We got the 3 completed sets. They're probably worth nothing. But nonetheless, it is just really, really cool to have and a really cool memory I have with my dad. So yeah, it's just... Hockey cards, I mean, that's cool, man. It's nostalgia. It's stuff you want to collect. You got to get them all. So.
Oh, I used to do the McDonald's cards with my grandpa, too, yeah. Like all the time. All the ice ones and like...
Yeah, they had like the holograms.
Yeah, the holograms.
Yeah, you like turn it, like Broder's standing still. Then all of a sudden he's making a diving glove save and then he comes back. Or like Jagr's wristing a puck or something.
Yeah.
Those were super, super cool.
I want people to tell me what hockey card collections they have.
Yeah.
If anyone has any Metal Universe cards, this is like a very rare set. I don't know if anyone else is going to ever have
them. Yeah, send them our way.
I'm even having trouble finding them online, like trying to buy them.
Yeah, buying them individually.
All right, you got your last kudos for the day, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, my kudos is fairly simple. It is for, obviously, the men and women who fought for the country, Canadian, Americans, French, I mean, even German, all these people who died for their country. It is pretty crazy stuff to know that we are here. We are free to do stupid podcasts like we are doing now because of the people that fought before. I don't really have a great lineage of war fighters or war members of my family. My great grandfather fought for Italy, so we are a family of turncoats. Sad as it sounds, he was basically fighting for Germany, and then once Italy decided not to do that anymore, he switched sides, and then he fought for, I guess, the good guys, you can say. So that's the only history I have of that. Unfortunately, he died when I was very young, like I think 7 or 8, so I didn't really get to talk to him about anything like that, and I have no war history at all, or no real ties to that, but I know a lot of people probably do, and they probably have family members and have stuff like that, so...
Oh, and we're so privileged to not have that in our family, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
wars are still happening all over the world and stuff. So, I mean,
yeah.
People fought for our freedom and our rights and stuff like that. And
no, exactly. I mean, my family, they emigrated from Italy just after World War II. That's basically why I'm here. I'm here because they fought and Italy was able to be free, wasn't occupied by Germany and all that kind of cool stuff. Obviously, there's been tons of wars and stuff, and there's still stuff like that today. So I want to remember anyone that dies for their country. I have immense respect for anyone that does that, fights for people's freedoms, fight for things that are bigger than themselves. And that is an easy kudos for me. So the poppy,
100%.
Everything goes out to those guys. And yeah, sorry for ending on kind of a non-funny thing, but nonetheless, they have to be remembered. And whatever small platform I have for our listeners is I will... definitely give thanks when I can.
And it inspired our whole episode today.
And yeah, you guys were the honor of our episode. So we dedicate this episode to anyone that has fought in wars, and we remember you guys, and lest we forget kind of thing. So
yeah, thanks for your service. Yeah,
thanks for your service and everything like that. So that is our episode for that.
We're not going to have a podcast next week because I'm going to be in New Orleans going to some football games.
Yep.
So we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.